Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. My name is Louis Mendes. This is the big match preview as we look back at the goalless draw with Stevenage on Easter Monday and ahead to Saturday's home game with Barnsley at the Valley. Joining me to do that, a man who's finally returned from his stint in Mexico, claims he was on holiday. I'm not entirely sure. I believe that's what he was up to. Nathan Miller, how you doing, Nate?
Yeah, not bad, mate. Long distant memory now. And then I sort of thought I'd be the lovely fan and rush back. You know, I landed early hours of Monday morning, about 7, 8 o'clock, and thought I'd drop stuff off, head to the Valley for a nice bit of football. And I actually went there to keep myself awake because of the jet lag, and didn't really turn out to be the one I wanted. So I ended up leaving probably about a couple of minutes to go because I just couldn't stay awake, although I'm sure everyone was. But yeah, good to be back, mate, and yeah, buzzing for another game and for this thrilling season of draws.
Yeah, I guess a lot of us felt like we needed a holiday after that game on Easter Monday. So to have returned from one and gone straight to that game, it must have almost wiped out all the good of going to Mexico. So on this week's show, then we will have a look back at that game against Stevenage. Not a classic, if we're being brutally honest. We'll hear Nathan Jones's thoughts on it. We're also going to hear from Thierry Small as well. I spoke to him after the game on Monday, asking him a little bit about his time with the club so far and what he thinks his future seems to be. We're going to look ahead, of course, to the Barnsley game. We've got Tracy Martin from the Red All Over show who's going to tell us a little bit about Barnsley, and then we'll look ahead to the match. We've got actually the assistant boss, Paul Hart, who done the pre-match presser today. Nathan Jones was unavailable due to a family situation he had to sort out, so Paul Hart will look ahead to the game later on in the show. I want to hear from you guys as well. Evening to everyone in the chat, including Charlton Fan 19, who says good evening, Alan. Andrew's in there. Jay, all hell let loose is in there. Martin says, that's enough looking back at the Stevenage game already. Please don't remind us. Yeah, we probably have pretty much covered all of it already, haven't we? Tom's in there. Spam's in there as well. Andrew's asking if we got over the excitement of Monday's game yet. Well, in the comments, let us know. It wasn't a classic, but let us know what you felt that Monday's game told us a little bit about the side, you know, the squad, where we are at this stage. And we're 10 unbeaten now. Can't shirk that, I guess. That's not something to stick your nose up at, Nath. But the performance itself is another clean sheet, which was pleasing for me. A big fan of clean sheets, and one that we haven't had too often this season. But it was one of the worst games of football I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, no, I think obviously first and foremost, yeah, it's great to have a clean sheet considering we used to give away goals. So I can't really grumble too much, but I will. To be fair, I think yeah, it was. It's up there. I mean, I was trying to think back on the way home. We've had some nil nils in our time, but there's been a couple that have been okay. But literally, I saw you before the game, I said it had a draw written all over it, but I didn't think it'd be that bad. I thought at least there'd be one all or something. But yeah, no, it was pretty rough, to be honest. And I was a bit surprised. You know, Stevenage is going well, and you know they're difficult to play against, and I get that. It just seemed like an end-of-season game between 12th and 13th. That's what it seemed like. It was just everyone was going through the motions. There weren't any real urgency in the game. I mean, from our point of view, I've been thinking it for a while, and I just think I don't think, in my opinion, Coventry and Dobson should play in the same team. I think they're too similar. I think if you're playing, in my opinion, if you play three in the midfield and two up top, to have that three, I reckon you have a sitter or a pivot or a defensive-minded player, a box-to-box person who can get around the pitch and someone who can offer that little bit of creativity, but with legs that we didn't have in Fraser. So, and we're playing sort of two sort of similar sort of defensive-minded players. I know Coventry can get on the ball and is a little bit more technically better than George, but you've got those two in there, and Kuroi, who isn't really a creative player, isn't really a defensive player. He's just someone with legs who can get around the pitch, and he's done well since, you know, and in previous games where Kuroi's played. But and then you've got like Backinson in there, and he's again, he's just someone who sort of gets around the pitch a little bit. I just think at home, and if we're going to be trying to be aiming to be a promotion team, I know that's not this season, I think we need to be a little bit more positive at home. But that said, I think maybe is it just a case where Nathan's just going, right, let's get over the line, win or draw, just get to that, get another few points under our belt, and then he can experiment with that little bit of creativity. I just find it a little bit one-dimensional. I think we lack a lot of fluidity and movement where Exeter, and to be fair to Stevenage in parts, moved the ball, and their movement off the ball was very good. But I think when we get to that middle of the pitch and on our front two, we don't really move as well as I thought we could do. So a lot to improve, and I'm not going to get too emotional over it and start cancelling my season ticket for next year or anything. But hopefully it's just a case where Nathan just gets some points on the board, settle down, and then we can try and build on it later on in the season.
Yeah, I mean, that poses the point I wanted to make then. I mean, how much will Nathan have learned over these 11 games he's had now? So don't forget, only one defeat in that time. It was his first game where he barely got his feet under the table. How much do you think he has learned about where the squad actually is, and games like Saturday and slightly flat displays like we did against Exeter, or even the Carlisle game before obviously the break where we won but weren't great? I mean, he must be looking at this squad thinking, right, he must be very aware of its limitations. You know, there's always been chat all season, people like, maybe we're one or two away, maybe we're three or four away. I mean, I think surely most people who've seen this season will see that we're quite far away, and I think Nathan would have had that sort of thrust in his face quite a lot over the last few weeks.
Yeah, I think he'll have a lot to think about, mate, to be honest. I think you look at... I think the defence is getting there. I'm not saying we should go into next season with the same back three as we have by any stretch. I still think we're another two newbies there. He's found out that we can grind out results when we're not playing well, which is a good trait. Let's have it right. I mean, to go up, you're not going to smash teams left, right and centre every week. No one does. You know, Portsmouth have their days where they've got to grind out a result. So I think he's found that bit. I think what he's going to struggle with now is how he gets the balance right in terms of that middle three, whether, you know, well, firstly, is Dobbo going to be here next year? Don't think he is, but I thought he was going to be gone in February like everyone else. So who knows where that one up front, May, what we do with May, is he going to need a bigger guy with him, or is he going to play with Kanu next year? I just think we don't look like scoring very often. And that's mad to say, because I know we've scored quite a lot of goals this year. I know that sounds crazy, but when I watched us on Monday, I just couldn't see us carving them open. Do you know, I just thought it was going to be a set piece or like a little knockdown or a mistake. And like I said at the beginning, for us to be pushing up that, you know, top two and playoffs next year, we're going to need quite a lot of work done. But you've got some good players in there. I just don't think, probably me in a little bit, probably been singing the praises and thinking our squad's a lot better on paper than it actually is. You know, you've got players in there, ain't getting a game at the moment, like Pan and Louis Watson and what's his name? John Farini or whatever his name is. I can't remember his name. But it's players like that, that they're the players that are flair players, but they're not getting in for whatever reason. And maybe, like I said, is it because he just wants to get some points on the ball first? But he's learned a lot, but I think he knows there's a lot of work to do, which he's already said he wants to trim the squad. So that means he's got to trim it. But what he brings in has got to be real good quality, which we've been saying for about 19 years or whatever it is. But I think he's learned a lot. I learned a hell of a lot.
Yeah, Tom said, I'll certainly take a point against a playoff chase inside. Probably the most boring Charlton game I've watched in a very long time. It is a clean sheet, though. 10 unbeaten, can't complain too much. Then he had, I said on the other stream, it's all about supporting the lads now and getting them over the finish line. And yeah, from a fan's point of view, I can understand that. But obviously, from Nathan's point of view, like I said, he'll be really getting the measure of what this squad's all about. Rich in the Paul Hart stuff earlier, Rich, I mean, because it was Paul Hart, he was very much able to throw that question and say, oh no, I can't answer that, it's for Nathan. But Richard did sort of ask a question about how they're assessing the squad. Have decisions already been made? You know, I said a few weeks ago, I wonder if there are members of the side, you know, even playing at the moment, who are almost being humoured between now and the end of the season. Let you go play now because we ain't got no one else. But I really don't want to see you here next season. I mean, Andrew says I was correct about the Corey Blackett Taylor loss back in January, saying we might create fewer chances. Andrew says he feels like we have less threat overall. And all hell let loose on that point. We played two defensive midfielders at home on Monday because we played Alfie as a number 10. Do you think that's why he did it? And did it work? Bernie said the 3-5-2 with two defensive midfielders was the plan. Jones wants us to be difficult to beat. This detracts though from the forward play. Is that how you saw it on Monday, Nath?
I think to be difficult to beat, I get that point completely. And especially, you know, let's have it right. I think Tom was saying, you know, they're a playoff chasing side, et cetera, et cetera. I get that completely. But I think to play Dobbo and Coventry for me is something you do at Derby away in the predicament we're in at the moment, where we were struggling to lose, you play two sitters, try and catch on a break. I get that one. But at home against a Stevenage team who are doing very well, I get that. I just think we should be a little bit more positive and a little bit more arrogant, if that's the right word. That's my opinion anyway. I get why he's done it. I just think, you know, I'm dread saying it now, but I don't think we're going to go down. And I think if we went for it a little bit, I mean, you look at the changes. I know he couldn't really change much, really, apart from Chucks. There weren't much on the bench, and maybe TC, who came on late, didn't he? Or didn't he? I can't remember. But he couldn't really do much. But it's like, well, where's Louis Watson? Where's that Fiorini? Just if you want to try and nick a goal or whatnot, I don't really know. But yeah, it's just a bit of an odd one. But Alfie is a 10, not in this formation, I don't think. I don't think Alfie's one of these players who can play as a 10 and pick something out of nothing. Yeah, he can pop one off from long range, but I don't think he's one of these players who will seek space and slide other players in. I could be wrong, but it doesn't work for me. If he's playing a 4-2-3-1 or whatever, then I'd get it. But with three at the back, I just think Alfie's quite limited in that little hole.
Because we had Alfie as a 10 worked at times under Appleton, but that would have been in a different formation, as you mentioned there. That would have been, was it 4-3-3 under Apples, if I remember rightly?
Yeah, because I think when Alfie came in as a 10, you've got to remember the two wider players, forget the right because that was never there, but when Corey was here, you always had someone occupying space on that left-hand channel. Whereas if you've got Alfie in the 10 narrow now, they haven't got to worry about 10-eye Watson or Thierry Small to some extent, but they can cover the space a lot more easier. Our wing-backs aren't as high as, say, Corey was. Do you know what I mean?
All hell let loose says the funniest thing about Monday was 10A Watson getting booked for giving away a corner. Yeah, I mean, from where you would have been right by that, Nath, but that looked like a really clean challenge from where where I was. Tom says he reckons that Nathan Jones knows who he wants next season. Dudley says we need a huge influx of players in the summer. If not, it'll be a long, boring season next term, lacking any quality. Yeah, which obviously we don't want that to be the case. I am looking at my notes of the game just to try and remember the best chances. So we literally didn't have a shot on target in the first half. They only had one, which was that long-range volley. It was a terrible first half. Second half opened up a little bit. They had a couple of chances. I think the best one really of the game was that Jamie Reid header that went over. Our best one probably the one that Backinson poked wide when the ball came back in, I think from Small after Carney had seen a shot blocked. There was a chance for Ladapo as well. His header was straight at the keeper, Ashby Hammond. Someone said something about Ladapo earlier on in the comments saying he didn't look like he was playing. Yeah, here we go. All hell let loose says Ladapo on Monday showed very little interest in earning a contract with us next season. So, I mean, obviously you've been watching the streams while you were away and that's the first time you've seen him in the flesh for a while. I mean, he's been, it's his first start for a while. So he's been a massive disappointment. I can't work out how it's gone so wrong for him because he's been prolific at this level before and he's looked good when he's played against us before.
Yeah, I have been disappointed with him, but I have some sort of sympathy with him because, I mean, when he was at Ipswich, he wasn't really, it seems as though, I could be wrong, that we're using more as him as a bouncer, sort of where balls bounce off him and, you know, blinks others into play, where I don't think he was really used that way for Ipswich. We seem to get the ball forward quite quickly and then try and pick up the seconds and play on the half of the other team. So, yeah, I mean, he had that one strike against, was it Lincoln? He got a goal, so he's done it there and he's done it at this level before. I just don't think we're probably playing to his strengths. And I'm not sticking up for him saying that, you know, we should sign him next year in the slightest. I just think we probably not using him to the best of his attributes, but that's all we've got at the moment. On that note of strikers, I thought, I don't know if you're going to come onto it later, I thought DK was absolutely brilliant. I think his hold-up play and his strength in holding off players was unbelievable on Tuesday, Monday or whenever it was. He's just improved so much, but we didn't fashion many chances, mate, because Stevenage were very comfortable. I'm not a Stevenage fan, and I felt comfortable that we weren't ever going to get past that Pierre Jarny and their other centre-halves. I thought they looked really comfortable, and we didn't really threaten them at all, apart from that Backerson chance. So, but we know they're hard to play against. But we didn't really, we sort of huffed and puffed a little bit, didn't we? And it was just, we couldn't really fashion any chances whatsoever.
Right, let's hear what the Addicts boss, Nathan Jones, made of that golden straw. With Stevenage there, and I spoke to him after the game, this is what he had to say.
Draw with Stevenage, how did you see it today?
Mixed feelings, really. Look, there's a lot of positives come out with a clean sheet, another point, another game unbeaten, you know, gave me everything, showed it working, putting their head on the block, because they had to. You know, Stevenage have kept 19 clean sheets. I think half of those have produced 1-0 wins, or half their wins have been 1-0, so it shows how difficult they are, one, to beat, but two, what they can do late on in games when they pretty much play land of the Giants and so on. They're very aggressive in that way. So that is a positive, but I just felt we needed... First off, I thought we were decent in terms of how we controlled the game, how we moved the ball. It's just we needed to be better. We need to show a bit more quality, a bit more bravery, but that will come. We changed some in because the first time we've played was probably three strikers, as you know, two midfielders and a 10, because we wanted to be positive at home. But look, it's a point. I'm not ecstatic in any way. But it's again another step in the right direction.
Yeah, I think that's Stevenage's fourth 0-0 in about six or seven games. So you know what sort of game you're going to get against them.
Yeah, very difficult, very difficult. You know, they're tough to play against. You know, Steve's been well organised. They're big, they're strong, they work hard. They don't get away with anything. The manager doesn't allow them to do any, you know, get away with anything. So you know that you've got to really pick weaknesses out. We felt we had a game plan. We did it for long periods of the game, but not enough. And then we kind of ran out of a few ideas later on. I would have liked to have made more positive changes, but we had to make, like, enforced one or two. And then because of how they finish games with basically put everyone in the box, we brought Nessie on instead of probably putting on someone like a TC or a Kazenga, which, you know, enabled us to keep that clean sheet. So, you know, I would have loved to have gone on and win it, but I would have been devastated if they had nicked it late on from us going to sleep. So look, probably a fair result. Tough team to play against, and as I said, it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, you mentioned on Friday how important clean sheets would be, so that's the main positive from today.
Absolutely. Look, we need to keep more clean sheets. If you keep clean sheets, there's goals in this team. We very rarely fail to score in a game, but we have to keep clean sheets. You know, I would love to have kept a clean sheet at Exeter the other day. They had one, maybe two chances in the game. We should have won the game, we should have nicked it. We had more possession, more shots, more everything. So disappointed with certain elements of that game. But today, look, they gave me everything. And these are a tough team to play against, you know, and things. So look, let's take the positives out of there, move on, and then, you know, look forward to Saturday.
You mentioned sort of trying to create chances. So do you think you could have done a bit more on that front?
Absolutely. But I think a bit more second off control of the ball and making sure that we did and used our solutions. You know, there's two different shapes there, so we had to be better. I'd be more aggressive. It's very difficult to be aggressive and go and win the ball because they go from goalkeeper to front man pretty much all the time. So it's very difficult for us to set traps and go and win it and be aggressive and be front footed, nick it, and then, you know, and do that. So we knew it was a different type of game. Saturday will be different again. So look, we'll do all the prep and go and be ready for that.
Just with your changes you made today, both Gillespie and Anderson came out of the score completely. Did they both just require a rest, or is it an injury?
Gillespie was tight, his hamstrings were tight, so we, you know, it was a call we made on it. Anderson, he's a young kid, he's played 6, 7, 8 games on the spin, been absolutely magnificent. Then he travels to America, you know, and has to train out there, train in the heat, then travel back. And he looked really jaded the other day, and he's looked it, so just freshen him up, give him a couple of days off, and he'll be back.
Just on Connor Wickham, a couple of fans have been asking if there's an update on him.
Well, he's closer to when he was, you know, the other day, so we're hoping that we have all these back, back in for the weekend so that we can have different options. But, that's been a frustrating one, really, because we've only seen him for 20 minutes.
Oh yeah, he almost let the mask slip there right at the end, Nathan, and actually give an update on a player, but he just said, oh, it's been a bit frustrating. But, you know, it's closer than he was with Connor Wickham. That's how he plays the game, isn't it? In terms of injury updates. So a couple of questions came in on Twitter. So I mean, Stephen's asked, anyone know what happened to Lloyd, Luke, and Jones? So again, similar. We can ask the question, but all you get is that he's closer than he was. And Cappuccino asked on Twitter, what was the point of the ever fit Luolua? So I think he would have come on if we didn't find ourselves in that situation, Nathan. Whereby we had to make enforced changes, which meant even though we hadn't made all five subs, we'd made them on three separate occasions and they weren't at half time. So you can't then make a fourth occasion excluding half time unless it's for a head injury. So I think if the game had gone slightly differently, we might have seen Luolua or TC, as you said, Nate. But that has been a frustration that we haven't seen more minutes from either of those, because I mean, this is the time that they're going to be trying to play their way into our thoughts for next season, and we've had 20 minutes from one of them and maybe about five from the other.
Yeah, it's been a frustrating one, really. I just think with the way those two players are in TC and Kazenga, they're sort of predominantly wide players. I think to squeeze them into the side, you've either got to play 4-3-3 and you have one up top, or you drop either May, Kanu or Ladapo, or you play a flat four and they're not really two right midfielders in a flat four in midfield, if you know what I mean. So I don't really see how they fit in, similar to really how it was last year where we had all these wingers and they didn't, and we started playing three at the back. We all of a sudden, we had so many wingers and couldn't fit them in, and now we've got like one or maybe one and a half and we can't fit them into change of game, because I think they're sort of impact players, really. I see them too, at TC and Kazenga. But yeah, if the game went slightly different, he might have changed it and gone with a three or put one up top and then two wide players or something, you know, anything could have happened. But yeah, it's been a bit of a stop-start one with TC, really. He's not had the best one. He went for that little spell around Christmas, didn't he, where he looked shot to pieces. And I don't know if it's probably worth him having a loan next year, but I think his contract's up in the summer. I could be wrong. So that's another one. I mean, has he really pulled up any trees to say, oh yeah, I deserve a new contract on this season? No, but you know there's something in there. Again, ironically, against Barnsley in his first start, wouldn't it, this season, under Dean Holden. So we know he's got something. But yeah, it's just been a frustrating one. And Kazenga Luolua, that was a bit of a surprise one, really, sort of rogue one, same as Connor Wickham, and that came out of nowhere. But yeah, it's been a frustrating one, really, because he couldn't really change the game. And they know we're going to stay with 5-3-2 or 3-5-2, however you want to say it. And we ain't really got no pace on the counter attack if we ever did win the ball from Verdane Oliver on a transition.
Yeah. So Stuart's saying, what is happening with Lloyd Jones? Like, so as far as we know, he's injured. He had that injection, and then yeah, that's the last we've officially heard. Yeah, Jay says we still look suspect at the back. We still don't create through the middle. Our best outlet is down the left with Thierry Small. Not much has changed since Apple's. Other than we're a bit more organised through the middle. And I don't think that's an unfair thing to say, but it is that looking slightly more organised that has helped us pick up results that do what we have to do. And then we get to that classic summer transfer window where we're trying to put everything right again. And is that going to be the case? But Jay says, you know, I don't think that Nathan would ruin the squad harmony by letting the team know who's staying or who's going. I think he has the team playing to their level. So I may misremember that, but I remember the 4-0 at Ipswich on the final day of the season. Jacko said the next day he thought part of that was because players knew they were leaving. I think Dean Holden held off for ages before letting the players know, but I'm fairly confident he did before the game at Cheltenham at the end of last season. But yeah, it can affect you, and I guess you don't want to risk that until you are safe. But I think it was Peter Varney put on Twitter this week, I think if you get to this stage, it's the 4th of April, and your deal's up very shortly, and the club having that sort of knocked on your door and said, would you like to negotiate, then you might have an idea anyway. Tom says, it all depends on the system that Jones wants to play. Sid, hi, Sid says, for next season, I think we need a whole new defence, but keep Lloyd Jones and Thierry. We need a new goalie, and we need to keep Dobbo. He's so key to our team and our captain, an amazing guy. So, yeah, well, as it stands, it looks like it's going to be very difficult to keep Dobbo. But that's the situation we find ourselves in. Right, someone else who we may or may not wish to keep, I think I would probably be leaning towards may wish to keep, is Thierry Smalls. Obviously signed a short-term deal with the club until the end of the season, but the club do have an option to extend that for a year into next season. So I spoke to him after the game against Stevenage on Monday, asked for his thoughts on the game and how he settled in SE7.
Straw with Stephen Inch. How did you see it today?
As you can see, that's the wrong piece of audio. So I will come back to that in a minute. Nathan, you tell me what you've made of Thierry Small. And while you're doing that, I will very slyly make the video.
That's what it is. I wonder what that weird noise was at the beginning of that clip then as well. It was like a
That's me going, oh, I put the wrong audio in.
Yeah, no, I think to be fair, Thierry, when he came in, again, it was one sort of, pardon the pun, but it was a bit left wing when he came in, wasn't it? It was like, didn't really see it coming. didn't really see him coming in. Obviously, he came along with big pedigree. Was it Everton? He was youngest ever player to play for Everton or something. It was linked with all the clubs around the globe that every sort of young player is nowadays. But I think he's been great. I think he's quite powerful in his attacking play. It's something that we've lacked, for sure. It's better than playing Terrell Thomas there, isn't it? But that's not a dig at Terrell, by the way. I thought he's improved significantly since Nathan's come in. But you got it ready?
No, keep going.
Oh, okay, fine, fair enough.
Would you keep him for next season, I guess?
Yes, 100%. 100%. I think... I don't think he's not done anything wrong. And I think if you look at all of our performances since he's come in up until, when was his first game? Bolton, maybe? Maybe the one before that? I thought he's been brilliant. I think he's very direct in what he does. I think sometimes it can get a bit predictable what he's trying to do. And I think he's starting to, you know, when you start playing well and people start sussing on and start doubling up, it's starting to get to that stage. So I think that's when you need the movement, like I said earlier, the movement in front of him to offer another option instead of it just going, right, give it to Thierry and see what he can do. But I think his delivery is good. He's big, he's powerful, he defends well. I mean, obviously, Teo had struggled when he first came in and hasn't really hit the heights that I thought he would. So, yeah, I'd definitely keep him there. Definitely keep him for next season. But I'm going by the season ticket poster anyway because I think him and Reg are in the season ticket poster. So I'm saying that they're staying. That's what I'm assuming. Otherwise, it's a bit weird. We go, yeah, sign a new season ticket. You won't see these two though. But Miles is in there as well. So
the only thing I will say on him is so we've seen a lot of him getting into the good positions. I mean, has his final delivery / assist been enough yet, or is there still to work on? And also, is that entirely his fault? Because there's been a lot of him getting into the right positions, and perhaps other players not being there when he puts a crossover.
Yeah, I mean, we've still got to remember, what is he, 19? You know, he's still very young. And I think his raw attributes are fine. That's just the thing they need working on. But that's what we're going to get at this level. We're going to get unpolished players. We're not going to get the finished article. Sadly, we're not. Even when we look at Miles and stuff, he's not the finished article. But that's just the way it's going. So I think he's got the potential there. And I don't think you go to those sort of clubs or in that big clubs if you haven't got something about you. I'd like to keep him. I'd like to see him improve. I just think it gives us another dynamic, you know, a bit of pace that we haven't really had for a long time since Ben Burritt.
Right, talking of finished articles, forgive me, so I don't have a picture of Thierry saved on my laptop anymore, so this is just a holding picture. But I think this is me speaking to Thierry Small after Easter Monday's game.
On the straw, with Stephen yesterday, how did you see the game?
I thought it was a bit of an unfortunate game not to pick up the 3 points, but I thought the lads, we've done our best, we worked as hard as we can, and, you know, we just got to keep on doing that. I'm just happy that the fans were supporting us through the very end, and we're trying to concentrate and unlucky not to get the 3 points.
Yeah, we always know what sort of game you're going to get against the Stevenage side. Obviously, don't concede a lot of goals. Did it sort of play out how you thought it might do? Quite hard to break down.
Yeah, 100%. We knew that they were going to be very direct. You know, I thought first half we had good spells. We just wanted to get a few more, you know, opportunities to try and really punish them. In the final third, we wasn't able to. But, you know, we just got to keep on building. Positives, we kept a clean sheet and we concentrated to the very end. So, you know, there's little things that we can take from the game in terms of, you know, as I said, the manager's been big on trying to keep a clean sheet, and so we can just set that foundation. So, yeah, so we just got to keep on moving forward.
Yeah, you mentioned the clean sheets after the game at Exeter as well. I mean, how important is that for morale to pick up another one today?
Yeah, no, it's great in terms of just trying to keep that, as I said, keep a clean sheet, trying to get our relationships in terms of the back line, try and, you know, get everyone be on the same wavelength and just have that hunger to not concede, which we all do, but sometimes we just got to have that concentration, which we did today. You know, double at the end of the game could have been a goal, but he was there at the right time, headed it away. So, you know, we just got to keep on the momentum now and just hopefully we can get 3 points on Saturday.
I could see you were doing your best to try and drive the side forward on the left-hand side as well. Do you feel like that chance might come in the last few minutes?
Yeah, I was trying my best. I was trying to get it. That wing-back job, it's a very hard, demanding job, so I love to do it. And trying my best to get the ball into the final third, into nice areas. So, you know, it just didn't fall for us on today, but, you know, we can keep moving forward, keep building, and then I'm sure the goals will keep on coming at home. So we just got to rest, recover and get back to the drawing board.
Have you enjoyed your time at Charlton so far?
Yeah, I'm loving it here. As I said before, the lads are great, the manager's sound, and it's good because we can just focus and just try and get the results that we need.
Was Nathan a big part of your decision to come here?
Before, yeah. When I come, he was getting appointed, and when he come, I was really excited because I knew what I was going to get, you know, hard work and demanding, trying to get the best out of his players. And I think that's great for players.
So you're an interesting stage of your career, obviously coming into Charlton at the time you did. Have you sort of set targets for what you wanted to achieve in your time towards between now and the end of the season?
Yeah, we've got little targets. You know, we want to try and, you know, keep this unbeaten run going, first and foremost, and just try and hopefully get a few more wins. So, you know, we're going to, as I said, get back to the drawing board on I think it's, what was today, Saturday?
Saturday.
Well, Monday, anyway, next Saturday. So we'll get back to it and just try and prepare the best that we can for Saturday.
In terms of your future, obviously, so you're here to the end of the season, but the club have the option of triggering a deal. Is that right? And have you had any conversations with them about what their plan is?
Yeah, at the moment, we're just focusing on to the end of the season, and then we'll see what comes up at the end of the season. So,
have you thought about it yourself, if you think this is a good place to stay?
100%. You know, as I said, it's I'm really enjoying my time here right now, and I'm open ears for what the future holds.
There you go, that's Thierry Small. And we've had loads of players over the course of our history who I thought didn't know what day of the week it was, and Thierry literally didn't in that interview. But yeah, it's a really, really exciting acquisition so far. I still think there's more to come from him, Nath. But I mean, yeah, Stuart says he's been a revelation. Tom says, I mean, if he stays, what do we do with Eden? Because that means he's been frozen out of the team. Well, as it stands, Eden will go down as another one who hasn't really hit the heights, another signing that hasn't really worked for us. So there will be a question there. Andrew says we don't have defenders who can stop teams from getting crosses in the way the likes of Sir Chris Powell or Chris Solly could, so maybe there's that to add to his game. Do you reckon, Nath?
Maybe. I think for me, I think stopping crosses is just desire. I don't think it's I get what Andrew's saying. I don't think it's an attribute that, you know, you'll look for a person in a right back most of the time. It's just to get out and, you know, attack the ball to stop the cross. It's just about a bit of desire, really. It's the same as winning headers in the box. If the ball's coming in the box, there's certain times where we don't communicate, we don't have enough desire to win that first and second contact. But 100% what Andrew's saying, where too many crosses come into the box and put us under pressure. And someone said it earlier about bringing another, I think it was Sid who said bringing in a goal in. For me, that's another one. As much as Iced has done really well, I just think we need someone who really commands that box a lot more. But that, like I say, he's improved massively since he's come back into the side. So I don't want to be too harsh on him, but that's what I think we probably need for next season, a really commanding goalkeeper, like the Exeter one, for example.
Yeah, right. Just a quick email before we start to turn our attention to Barnsley. Duncan said, I went to the game on Monday. It's my first game since Lincoln at home. Very disappointing and underwhelming. Didn't make me want to buy a season ticket for next year. Another major overhaul is required in the summer. Probably only three players on the pitch on Monday that would be in a promotion-winning team. Alfie, Coventry, based on reputation, potential, not on yesterday's performance or on Monday's performance. And their number five, Carl Piergiani, a no-nonsense League One defender and leader that we are crying out for. The only positives from Monday were a clean sheet and Nathan Jones's honesty in the post-match interview, acknowledging that if we perform like that at the same time next season, then he won't have done his job properly. The question is whether the owners will give Nathan as much money as he needs and get our business done. at the start of the summer. That email's from Duncan. Cheers for your email, Duncan. Right, we'll have a quick break. When we come back, our guest, who's going to tell us all about Barnsley, is waiting in the wings. We'll see you in a minute or so.
Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts, and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured, and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello, fellow addicts. I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, The River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your matchday routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview Saturday. Coming, we're at home again. The second of 3 home games in a row is Barnsley coming to SC7. So now joining us to tell us all about the Tykes is Tracy Martin, who hosts the Instant Reaction Show on the Red All Over Barnsley channel. So here's Tracy. Evening, Tracy. How are you?
Evening. I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for coming on. So, I mean, sat in the playoff places, we're looking up sort of enviously at you. Obviously got to the playoff final last year as well. How have you assessed this season?
Yeah, the end of last season was obviously real high, followed by a dramatic low. Yeah, and then we lost the manager and 3 or 4 really key players. So we had a very sort of dodgy close season, pre-season, and expected things to be pretty dull, to be honest. Neil Collins came in, didn't really know anything about him. Been a bit at Sheffield United, played a bit, but been in America at Tampa Bay Rowdies. I mean, who knows anything about Tampa Bay Rowdies? We certainly didn't. But yeah, he's done all right. And I think if you'd have asked most of the fans before the season that we'd have been in the playoffs position, you know, with 6 games to go, because we've still got 6 to go, then I think we'd have snapped your hand off. Fans got a bit giddy a few weeks ago when we were touching automatics for a while, but back to reality, I think, and the playoffs it is. So I think overall, it's been a good season, and I think Neil Collins has done very well, although our style of football isn't amazing, but the results speak for themselves.
Hi, Tracy. Yeah, I was just about to ask, because you're obviously flying sort of up in those higher sort of places, and then that Lincoln result seemed to come out of nowhere a little bit. I know Lincoln are on a great run of form, but I didn't expect that to come in. But am I right in thinking that you've only lost 1 away this season, but lost 7 at home?
That's right. We've got the best away record in the country, I think, now, having beaten Burton. That puts us into the... So, yeah, we've played 19 away and won 12 and only lost 1. Our home form is terrible. If we'd have been good at home, we'd have been winning the league.
Why do you think that is, though? Because seven losses at home and you're still in the playoffs is pretty good going, to be fair. Do you know what I mean? So, obviously, I've not seen every Barnsley home game, but is it because teams sit back and then you just get caught on the break? Or what can you put your finger on it? Why you lost so many at home rather than away?
I think more recently we've felt the nerves. So since Bolton, when we were 2-0 up against Bolton up to 60 minutes and then collapsed and drew 2-2 and could have easily lost that game. Since that game, it has absolutely knocked the stuffing out of us, to be honest. I think we gave everything we possibly could. So we've lost the last two home games since then to Cambridge as well, who, you know, then we drew with Charlton. Drew with Cheltenham. And obviously Lincoln smashed us. So I don't know if we've got nervous. We seem to be nervous at home. We seem to play with a lot more sort of trepidation. And as you say, teams come, we give away really sloppy goals early on, and then teams inevitably just park the bus and we have no way of breaking them down. We play very sort of possession-based football, more at home, with no real end product. I think the fans at home become more frustrated. You can sense that in the ground. The players clearly must sense that. Things at home have just not been good all season, but the last three games in particular have been really poor.
In the chat, Martin Eisted, who is not Harry's dad, even though he tries to claim to be, asks, what were your views on Harry Eisted last season? Obviously, he's become a bit of a mainstay in our side under Nathan Jones.
I love him. Absolutely loved him. He was amazing. Came to us on loan from Luton. Brad Collins, who was the keeper at the time, got injured. He got into the first 11 and never, ever slipped out of it. He was amazing. We were devastated when we didn't sign him. It was all set that he was going to sign. He'd made, you know, it no sort of... He was there, I'm going to sign, I'm going to stay. And then unfortunately, Duff walked away and left us for Swansea, and at a point where I think he was probably just about to sign. And then it was all a bit of, oh, I don't know who's going to be the manager, don't know who's coming in. And we left it really late to appoint Collins. And by that point, he quite rightly needed to get himself a club. And you were very fortunate that you got him, although he's not played that much. And I know I've watched a few of different things around Charlton this week. And I know he's not, I think, you say he's doing all right, but he's not been great. He was amazing for us, amazing.
I think with Harry, he got an injury quite early on in the season and he sort of found himself out of it, and then he's come back since Nathan come in. So no doubt he'll probably more than likely play on Saturday. So hopefully he can do us a favour and then be as good as he was for you against you. But I mean, you mentioned it earlier about your home games where you're quite possession based, but with not really an end product. But it seems to be working away from home, which doesn't, you know, which is great for you, but quite worrying for us in a way. But so how do you sort of play away from home? Because we just came off a Monday game, which was pretty dull. So we're hoping there could be a little bit more excitement. Is that going to be in store for Saturday?
Again, it's a bit like, who knows? We've played 3-5-2 or 5-3-2, depending how expansive our wing-backs are, which sometimes is very and sometimes is not very. But then on Monday, he changed the entire system for the first time this season, for the first half, which was a disaster because we were 1-0 down at half-time to Burton, and then changed it back to what we were pretty much used to, and we scored 3 in the second half. So we are better away from home, certainly. We do seem to attack more because, I guess, you know, the emphasis is on the home side to come out and get something. So we are so inconsistent. That is the biggest word I can describe us. We tend to only play for one half. So, you know, if you can get through a bad half, we tend to be all right. But it's not even... Sometimes we come out and we're amazing for 20 minutes. We press. Then the last few games, we've been dreadful. The first half hour, we've conceded. I can't really tell you a pattern of how we play in terms of, you know, from the first minute to last, because we are so inconsistent. Better away from home, I would say we tend to use our wing-backs more, so we do tend to get the ball wide if possible and get the crosses in. Although, again, recently, I'm sounding really negative here, I realise, but recently our crosses have been dreadful. So we'll see. I mean, we like playing away from home. All the fans are dead happy that out of the six we've got left, four are away from home, because it's great. Everyone wants to go away now.
Yeah. Tracy, you're not the first fan of a top six club that's come on this pod this season and bemoaned about how their side play, and we're sitting down there in 16th. Nathan was talking earlier about how Monday's game felt like a 12th versus 13th. I thought, I wish we were 12th. But look, yeah, just finally on your side, obviously Devante Cole's the one who stands out because he's got the majority of the goals this season. But in terms of key men, who will the Charlton fans be wary of this coming Saturday?
Well, Devante Cole hasn't scored since the 1st of February, so And he's been dropped the last two games, so I won't worry about him too much. Sod's law now, I've said that. Hopefully he'll bang one in, but yeah, he's not been great. Key players, I would say, if our midfield three are ticking together, they're a force to be reckoned with. They haven't ticked together a lot recently, but Irby Kane, Adam Phillips and Luke O'Connell are probably all League One, higher championship, lower players. You know, they're all good players, but like I say, getting them three to tick together is not always as goes to plan. And I would also say John McAtee, who's came on a sub on Monday and yeah, scored two. He's a live wire. He's full of running, full of energy, and he's certainly our striker to worry about. I would say more than Devante Cole at the minute. At the back, you don't need to worry about anything. We love gifting goals, so you don't need to worry about any of our defenders. We're very generous.
Oh, there we go. Well, we are often the same. So it could make for an exciting game on Saturday then. Tracy, thanks for your time and your input. Good luck for the rest of the season. Not too much, because I always like going to Oakwell. So I hope you guys stay down. But yeah, great. Thanks for your time. And yeah, maybe we'll see you again next season. If not, all the best.
Yeah, good luck to you after Saturday. Thank you. Cheers. See you later.
That's Tracy Martin from the Red All Over a Barnsley show. Thanks to Tracy for her time, giving us a lowdown on the Tykes ahead of Saturday's home game. Let's have a look ahead to the game from a Charlton point of view. As I mentioned earlier, Nathan Jones didn't do the presser today. On paper, we're about to hear from Paul Hart, but it could be anyone. It could be Thierry Small again. It could be Nathan. Depends what button I press. But let's hear someone speaking, hopefully looking ahead to Saturday's home game with Barnsley.
Succession over the Easter period can take its toll. How's the fitness of the squad, bearing in mind we have another two games in 4 days coming up? Is it possible that we might see some of our injured players back, like the likes of Lloyd Jones, Kane Ramsey, Conor Wickham?
Well, they've been going through a strict regime, and it's possible. You know, we're cautious, but it is possible.
Cool. The first of those two games at the Valley coming up will be against Barnsley on Saturday, a team chasing promotion, but one that has had mixed results recently, two defeats. Can we capitalise on what might be a bit of nervousness on teams at the top as they get closer to the running?
Well, you know, in the Football League, wherever you play, you don't get anywhere without being pretty good at what you do. And Barnsley, I'm a defender, so I always look on the negative side, and I think they could be very good. And I think when you think like that, it keeps you grounded and makes you prepare properly. And and we know that, you know, if Barnsley, like many other teams in this division, if they get room to play, they'll play.
We've seen, we've shown actually as a club since yourself and Nathan have come in, that we can compete with the teams at the top. So in that respect, we should be confident going into Saturday.
I think we're all, you know, we've got a great bunch of lads who have really put their lot in over the last 8 weeks or whatever we've been here. And, you know, we've dug out results. We've played well and got results. We've been played well and not got the results that we deserve in terms of wins instead of draws. But certainly when you've got a group of players that are giving their all, it's a massive, massive head start on anybody. And so we're very pleased with that. We, you know, we've got to round off the edges here and there, but you know, you can't do everything overnight.
Of course, on Saturday, something close to your heart's Academy Day at the Valley. We've had, we've currently got 8 Academy graduates in the regulars in the first team squad, and 5 of those are now internationals from the graduates. There's a further 10, I think, in the under 21s and under 18s that have had a taste of first team football. It's a significant achievement, isn't it, really? And must make everybody proud.
It's massive, and I'm very proud to have worked in that department for 2 or 3 years, and fortunately some of my friends are still here from that time, and we realized that we had a, you know, a recruitment area. I perhaps shouldn't be saying this, but that was very lucrative in terms of the quality of youngsters that are coming through. And you know, the club has carried on. You know, it had a history of developing young players, and that history has been cemented and is moving forward. So I'm very excited to see these young players coming on. You know, I'm a developer, you know, overall, and I want our kids to come through and get in the first team, no question. And there's a pathway, you know, the room will be made for those that are good enough.
There we go. That's Paul Hart looking ahead to the game with Barnsley on Saturday at the Valley. Looking forward to seeing if there's if we can get some excitement, something in the air that night, Nathan, just to try and have a more exciting game than Monday. You mentioned the academy staff. I mean, obviously that is quite a good little thing for the club over the last few years. The amount of players that have come through, and Paul spoke about that, and obviously did work in the academy when he was here previously. So he's obviously wary of what players of that sort of level and age can do in the first team squad, and will help with that pathway that, to be fair, is pretty well established at the club.
Yeah, Paul's a very experienced coach. Obviously got a wealth of experience, and obviously that's probably why Nathan's brought him in. It's a good day to celebrate it in terms of Academy Day, but like as you say, now what we're focusing now is trying to get some good performances at home now to the end of the season, because it's been a bit of a long and dreary one, and you know, hopefully, you know, Saturday can be another day in paradise.
People who aren't having another day in paradise, obviously the injured players. We've got a really good update there from Paul. It's a tactic that obviously the management team has deployed. Obviously we're not exactly picking up on something that no one else is here. They don't give much away on it, and it is obviously mind games, whatever you want to call it, but that seems to be a decision that the management team have made then, not to give much away on injured players.
Yeah, no, it does make me laugh, because it's usually, so what did Paul just say? It was just, he's cautious but possible. And then it's usually he's closer than last week. It's like, well, obviously, like, unless he's died, which hopefully he hasn't, but then, yeah, it's great. But do you know what? It's small margins, isn't it, in the game now? It's fine margins. If it can help us that little bit more by disrupting the other team's sort of preparations, then so be it. I'm not really that, you know, bothered to see if someone's nearly fit. Unless someone's out long term, I think that should be said. But if someone's a couple of weeks away, just let it. We'll soon see it when the teams come out, won't we? We ain't going to be able to pick the team ourselves or anything. So I'm not really too fast. I just find it quite amusing when obviously Terry asks the questions and it's just like, I'm not going to give you that answer.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously we can't pick the team ourselves, but I am going to ask you to pick the team now. I mean, in terms of changes and all that sort of stuff, we get to this conversation sort of every week, really. I mean, Freddie Ladapo started up top. We obviously know Anderson in the side that saw Alfie drop down into the 10. I mean, would you want to see that experiment continue? Would you rather see Anderson come back into the side or someone like, I don't know, Backinson come into the midfield and move things about a bit? I mean, are there any other changes you'd like to see? I mean, I really want to see more of Luai. I'm guessing Connor Wickham's not going to be about, but I really want to see more of Luai. But as we've said previously, I don't really understand exactly how he fits into this formation. But if there's a way to get him on the pitch, I want to see what he can do.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. I think for me, I'd go rogue. I'd be like, well, we're staying up now, so that's fine. But I'd say that now. But to be honest, I'd like to see... I'd like Deeks, Daniel Kanu and May up front. I think that picks itself for me. The midfield three, I'd change a bit. I'd go rogue and go Coventry, Pan. Yeah, I know. And I'd shove Louis or that Fiorinian. Just give it a go. Or that Luai as a 10. I would just try and be a little bit more expansive. And I just think that you've got a good balance there of attributes for the defensive and getting around the pitch and that sort of stuff. So I would go for that. I think the wing backs pick themselves. if Ramsey's fit, then I'd pick him all day long because I love that guy. But centre-halves, and I just think, you know, leave it as it is if need be. I'm not really that fussed, really. If Jones is back, I'd pick him. But I'd play around with that midfield three, if I'm honest. I just think that's where we sort of lacked a little bit of guile is the word I was looking for. What a word. But yeah, so that's what I'll do, mate. I'd change that up and just go, I wouldn't be so defensive minded. Just have a go at them, you know. Like, we've still got enough, still got another few games to get. What do we need? 3 points, maybe? Four?
We probably need 0 points, and I've said that for a couple of weeks. In that time, we picked up two, so I really don't think we need much more. Really, I think we've got enough now. Tom says it's always a competitive game against Barnsley, no matter where we are in the league. So it'll definitely be a good game. He also asked about Tenai. He says, do we know if he's fully fit? He obviously went off on Monday. Well, he's definitely closer to coming back than he was before, because it's been about 4 days since then. I mean, Nathan said that he came off with a bit of tightness. So on paper, you think that's not too bad, but we don't know. Dudley says, in terms of the injuries, I don't know what they're trying to hide. One player comes out and an equally crap player comes in, to be honest. That's what Dudley says. Joseph reckons against all odds we'll turn it on again. I mean, what will be clear, you know, I said to Nathan, I think after the Exeter game, like, I guess you're sort of at that stage of the season now where performances are more important than points. But he immediately said I was wrong on that. And he's like, no, you know, we want the points first and foremost. The performances, you know, need to follow. But for me, I'd like to see us actually attack games and play well in this last few weeks of the season, because I want to see these players saying to Nathan, I've got to be here next season, or, you know, this is what I can do for you next season. I want to end the season on a high on that front, because I genuinely think that'll be more important than the points, even if Nathan obviously didn't quite see it that way.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. I just think there's been so many times, you know, look at that sort of that time before sort of Nathan came in. There was a really hairy moment where all of us were going, oh, this is a bit touch and go, this one. But I just think, and we play with so much pressure and we conceded loads of late goals because it was squeaky bum time and all that sort of stuff. So I'd like to, I'd like us to have a little bit more on the front foot positive, which I think Nathan wants, but play with a little bit less pressure. Let have a little, you know, express themselves a little bit more, because you know we've got some good players in there. We're not all doom and gloom. I just don't think we've got a balanced squad, and I think that's probably where we're lacking. But I just think, yeah, just have a go. I mean, yeah, if we lose 2-1 to Barnsley, but we have a go, I'm not going to be fuming about it. You know, I'm going to be, well, at least we have a go, and just have a go at someone. I'd rather at this point of the season, I'd rather have a go, lose 2-1, then just sit there and get a 0-0. Like, I know it's a point, but I just think we're not going down. Just have a go. Like, we've got a couple of home games left. Just have a go and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, Jay said, talking about Chucks earlier, big shout out to Chucks. Despite everything that's happened to him, he comes back into the team for cameos and changes the dynamic. If only the Dapo could offer a bit more like Chucks. There's a couple of people, Tom and Andrew, both calling for a Simway to come into the side if Tenei isn't fit, and like, we'll see how that plays out. Obviously, Martin says Shackles off and go for it. That sells season tickets, and it will be an element, I guess, of that. If people see a strong end to the season, it might entice one or two more in terms of season tickets. Although I guess more so it'd be what they see in the summer window and how that progressive all hell let loose is. Yeah, you can be sure if Watson is out injured, then Nathan will play Reg at right wing back rather than a Simway. I guess there is that option. I think he's played there before, hasn't he? So, yeah, potential there as well. Right, we've come pretty much to the end of this week's big match previews. Thanks for everyone who's joined us live on the show. Now, don't forget, if you're following or watching the show on YouTube, make sure you hit subscribe underneath the video so you never miss another live show. If you're listening on the podcast, thanks for that as well. Make sure you subscribe in your podcast app so you never miss the show on catch-up as well. Massive thanks to Tracy Martin from Red All Over. He told us all about Neil Collins' side ahead of Saturday. Barnsley, and massive thanks to everyone who's joined us in the chat as well. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Big thank you, as always, to Mr. Nathan Miller, back from Mexico. I hope you enjoyed your return, Nath.
I did. I'm sort of getting tequila withdrawal symptoms already, though, mate. So looking to go in a bar on Saturday. I don't think they sell it in cross bars. But yeah, I'll have a cheeky little shot. Might see you Saturday. You never know. Might surprise you.
Well, maybe if you smuggle in some tequila, it might make the game more interesting. Certainly. Right. Thanks to everyone who's joined us. This has been Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, and Bathroom Installation. We'll be back on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. to look back at whatever happens against Barnsley. We shall see you then.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.